wall here, we've got the toilet facilities, should you need them. Okay, fantastic. It's very exciting this morning to welcome, we've got Cliff and Beth here from the King's Church Harrow, Harrow's not far away, it's just up the A40, M40, we Cliff and Beth we started off here in New Life a long time ago, God sent them out, they've been working a leadership team in Harrow there, having a fantastic time, and it's just brilliant to be able to welcome them back, because just what God's done in them and what God does through them is so fantastic. So I wonder if you could give a big warm welcome to Cliff and Beth, please. Cliff's, it's always good to have Cliff. He always keeps me on my toes. Look at this high-tech stuff here. I'm shuffling around with paper. And look at this here. Look, what can I say? Oh, he's got his glasses.
Well, it's really good to be here. It is like coming home. I think we left 20 years ago, and I don't know why we ever did. It is a real pleasure to come and to speak. And we're just amazed at the grace of God. When we come back, it's just like coming into a river of refreshing, a river of love. And you guys are looking younger and younger. I mean, it's Benjamin Button and all that kind of stuff, isn't it? But no, seriously, Beth and I are really pleased to be able to come. And we're excited about what we think God is going to do today. But Father, we want to just honor you. We want to honor your Son. We want to honor you, Holy Spirit, and we lean on you, we depend on you. We thank you for your grace, your favor, your mercy over each of our lives, over this whole planet. And we ask, Lord, that your kingdom would come as you are honored today, that your will would be done in our lives, in our hearts, and to our hearts as we get a glimpse of you. And go out to give others a glimpse of you too. For your glory we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I was going to move this back. So the title of my talk this morning is A Glimpse of God. And I'm sure that many of us here have had many glimpses of God. I remember really for myself that as a teenager, I was born in London in West Ham Hospital. But then, through God's mercy and wisdom, later became an Arsenal fan. I think there's a lot going on at the moment, isn't there, in terms of the Euros and the rugby. I'm sure Nick was very pleased yesterday at that fantastic win in Australia. But it's very interesting because apparently in the Times, someone kind of texted a little thing that came up in the Times yesterday. And one of the columnists received a text from his friend, and he said this about the Euros. He said, a mate of mine has two tickets for the Euro 2016 final. England probably won't be there, but he didn't realise, this is bad planning, when he brought them, that it's the same day as his wedding. So he can't make it. So if you're interested and you want to go instead of him, it's at St. Peter's Church in Cambridge, and her name is Louise. But the thing about that is, we won't be there anyway, but the thing about that, it's got nothing to do with my talk, but I thought it was quite good. No, I think we all need to be loved, don't we? And I don't know if Louise is a real person, but this morning I felt that God wanted to say a very simple thing to you. You're going to get some amazing revelation this morning, so just hold on to your seats. It's going to be very simple. I think George Orwell said it's the duty of intelligent men to remind people of the basics. And this morning it is about the basics, but I pray that with God's help and God's Spirit on us and through us, that he will work something fresh in our lives. Let me talk about this guy here. Raymond Carver was a short story writer and a poet. And towards the end of his life, he lived quite a wild life, or at least some of his stories are pretty depressing and hard. And life can be depressing and hard, can't it? But the last thing that he wrote, he just wrote this kind of, is it a poem? I'm not sure it is really. It's called A Late Fragment. And he asks a question. He says, and did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. And I think that that is the heart for every person. We want to know that we're loved, and I think we want to feel and experience that we're loved. There was a person called, let me just grab my notes here, because this, some of the stuff I'm going to read out is quite emotional. And there was a guy who wrote a book called Cafe Theology. And in that book, he talked about how he had three friends who in 1988 were on the plane that went down over Lockerbie. And in reading about that and in being, I don't know, touched about that, he found a diary of one of his friends. And this lady, Sarah Atcher, was a Christian. And she wrote this. She said, sometimes I feel that every cell is pregnant and every atom is swollen with the strong, sure love for me and all creation. This lady, Sarah, experienced the love of God personally. And in an age when many people would say we're here by chance and not by design, we're here in a meaningless, in a harsh kind of evolutionary type world, this lady had experienced the love of God. And even though there was great tragedy in that terrorist act, for herself, she would have been in the arms of Jesus. In terms of glimpses of God, when I was a teenager, I lived in Suffolk, and I ended up in a very small village. So I went from a school of 500 people in Ilford to a school of 50 in a tiny Suffolk village. And the school had only two types of books. It had the complete works of Michael Bond, the Paddington books, okay? And then it had the Biggles books. So I didn't learn much except that marmalade sandwiches weren't too bad and that Biggles, you always need to keep your airplane full of fuel, especially when you're making a long journey. But when I was a teenager, we had a lovely Labrador dog called Prince. He was a golden Labrador. Take him out at night. And the village had no street lighting. The only lighting really came from the, you know, the little chinks of light peeking through the curtains of the houses in the village. And one night, I had no faith background. I had a grandmother who was a Christian. But as I was walking in the darkness, and it was the Suffolk deep darkness, I just looked at the stars and the moon out there, and I just felt very, very small. And I felt very, very secure. And I think that was a moment of my first glimpse of God. And I wouldn't say I felt loved, but later on in coming to Christ, in Psalm 8 it says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. And I'm sure that for many of us, there are many moments, many glimpses of God on our journey. Even a few years ago, I was due to take a break, a sabbatical from church work, and I was reading through the Gospel of Luke. And in my battered NASB Bible, I came to the bit in the Lord's Prayer, where in Luke chapter 11, and it just says very simply, Jesus had finished praying and his disciples asked him, teach us to pray. And he said, well, when you pray, say. And in Luke, it's a shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. And it just said, Father. And when I read that word, Father, after being a Christian for, you know, many, many years, there's a sense of freshness and fullness and a door opening to the Father's love and the Father's heart. And then I was able, later that sabbatical, to go to hear some lectures on the Father's heart. And during that time, I was reading John 16, again in my battered NASB Bible. But there was a moment as I was reading, I came to chapter 16, verse 27. And it just said, the Father himself loves you. God the Father himself loves you. And that was another moment of a glimpse of God. Another moment where God spoke and the doors opened to his love and to his mercy. We haven't got off the first slide, so you have to bear with me. But my first point is a simple one, but it is the big idea. That you are loved, that every person who's ever been born, who's ever existed on this planet, was loved by God. And St. Augustine said, if the entire Bible could be summed up in a single sentence, then it would cry out like the resounding waves of the sea, the Father loves you. And I feel today that wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, the Father's love is constant and consistent. And where there are storm clouds, where there is pain, where there is terrorism, where there is fighting in the street, where there is pressure at work, where there is relational difficulty, the Father loves you. And the second point I have is that the Father came looking for you. And I read another story, and I'm sorry for the kind of the context of this, but it's an earthquake context. And from my notes, it says on December the 7th in 1988, an earthquake devastated northwestern Armenia. And there were many, many people who suffered. But one father decided, well, he was actually at home. And when the earthquake hit, he knew his son was at school. And he went to the school, and the school wasn't there. And so he knew where his son's class was, and he went to the back of the where it was. And he just started with his bare hands to dig out the rubble and the stones. And there was a lot going on, but no one was kind of really helping him. And he just started. And he continued for 12 hours in this situation. His hands were red raw. He was searching for his son. And as he dug and as he searched, he called out, Armand, Armand, are you there? Are you alive? Armand. And he kept going. And others came to him and said, you need to stop. You need to stop searching, stop digging, stop calling out your son's name. But he kept going, not just for 12 hours, not just for 24 hours. He got to 34 hours, 37 hours. On the 38th hour, exhausted and fraught and giving up hope, he called again and the voice of his son came out. He said, I'm here, Dad, I'm here, I'm here. And his dad managed to get others, and they pulled out. The classroom had collapsed, but there was a section. He said, I'm here with 12 others. 12 others were saved in that day. And his son said, I knew you'd come for me. I knew you'd come for me. And when I read that story, the thing about the Father is, when we read, for God so loved the world that he sent his son, it was God the Father. He loved everyone. And so how did he search for us? He sent Jesus. He sent his son to come into the earth to dig for us, to call our names, and to get into the rubble and the dirt and the debris which was above and around, entrapping us, blinding us, imprisoning us. And the Father's hand, the Son, his right hand, came and dug out the rubble because we needed rescue. We needed rescue. It says the Father sent his Son. God showed his great love, not just his love, but his great, abundant, amazing love for us by sending Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the Son of God coming to die for us while we were still sinners. We didn't deserve it. We were against God. We were rebels in heart and nature. We were blinded. We were defiant. We had our backs turned to him, and we weren't really calling for him. And yet the Father sent the Son into the earth. And the cost really was high. There's an Indian actor called Joey Jeetan. And I'm sorry again for the illustration, but this is the reality of the world we live in. That he was in Mumbai a few years ago when terrorists came and attacked that city. And he was in a room where they came in and they sprayed the room with bullets. In this broken and bitter world in many ways, these people came and fired into crowds. He was in a hotel and he just went down. And afterwards he survived and was interviewed, and they said, "Why did you survive? How did you survive? In this instance, what on earth happened?" And he said, "As I went down, diving down, there were others around me, and they were wounded and they were dying. And I was alive, but I believe I survived because I was covered with another man's blood." And he said, "This is really, you know, I pray for this guy that he would know Jesus. I don't know if he does." His life was spared by other people. And our lives are spared and saved and transformed because another man, a real man, God came fully God, fully man, and suffered for us and obeyed the Father and submitted himself to the Father's will right through to the bitter and cruel end. And we can't imagine what that's like. Even to speak about this, we have no idea of what Jesus went through, but we do know he did it. It was factual. It's a stubborn fact that the Son of God came to the earth, born of a virgin, lived as a man, submitted to the Father, filled with the Spirit, went to the cross, sinless to the end, and rose again. This is the God we worship. This is the Son who is at the Father's side now, risen from the dead, reigning in heaven, looking for all history to be wrapped up, while we, his people, have an assignment in the earth to tell others about him. And the Father's aim was to adopt you. Galatians 4, verse 4 says, "When the fullness of time came," when the right time came, "God sent forth his Son to redeem, to buy back those who were under the law, so that what we might receive, not just forgiveness of sins," which was absolutely necessary, Jesus saves us from our sins, "but to adopt us legally, lovingly, with great pleasure, as his sons and his daughters." And adoption, well, I won't go into it too much. In Roman times, a slave if there was a Roman household and they had rich owners and they didn't have offspring, they may go to some of their trusted slaves and say, "Do you have anyone in your household that I could take, that I could adopt as my heir?" And with someone with maybe some other children, they would go and they would have a time where the slave was paid for by the master and would gain his freedom as a son. And what happened is, in terms of adoption, if you can imagine, say you were a slave all your life, you served a family, you weren't free, your future was slavery, your future was not your own, and then one day the master comes and says, "I don't want you to be a slave anymore. I want you to be my son." And he pays a price to the family. And this meant that the person could have a brand new family and a brand new position, and that he would have a brand new future as a free man. And he would have a brand new friendship with the former slave owner. We have, and I just want to talk about four A's that when we get adopted into Christ, our first thing that happens to us, I believe that we are accepted Romans 15:7 says, accept and welcome one another as Christ has accepted you. You are accepted, which means that you were wanted. You were not rejected. You were chosen. You were wanted by God. God actively searched you out through the rubble, said, you're mine, and I want you in my family forever, and I want to love you and do good to you. The second one is affirmation. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said to the dearly beloved at the church in Rome, if he was around today, he would say to the dearly beloved in the church at New Life, because you are richly and robustly loved, and you have the resources of heaven behind you, even though there's darkness, there's difficulty, there is terrorism and there's taxes. Remember to pay your taxes. Because God is someone who just affirms you. When they went to an orphanage in Romania, after the fall of Ceausescu, they found, I'm sure many of you will know, many orphans who had not been loved, had been left in rooms, and there was just nothing, no love given to them. And many of those orphans really struggled to survive. But they needed that love and that affirmation. And we need affirmation. We were created to be loved. And it's so hard, isn't it, to sometimes live in a world where you're not being affirmed. But the Father affirms you. The Son affirms you. The Spirit affirms you. Thirdly, we have access. We have access by the Spirit through Jesus Christ into the presence of the Father. We have access every day, every moment, because the blood of Jesus has said, you are acceptable, you are mine. And so we can go right in. We can tell him our thoughts. We can sit quietly and we can listen to him. We can just sigh. We can tell him everything we need, or we can just at times weep. We have access to the presence of the King. George Müller, the famous German who had many orphanages in Bristol and had set up these orphanages as a testimony because he wanted a faith project to so that God would provide, that God would look after the orphan through his own kindness and care. George Müller was on a ship going to Canada, and he was delayed. There was dense fog, and he had a word with the captain. He said, Captain, I need you to steam full ahead. I have never been late. I've never missed a meeting in all my years, which was quite a number of years. And so the captain said, I can't go faster. You have heard the Titanic story, haven't you? No, he probably didn't say that. But he said, look, come on, what should we do? So George said, let's pray. So they prayed, and, well, George prayed, and then the captain was about to pray, and George said, no, don't you pray. It's been sorted. And I don't think you've got faith for this anyway. I'm sure he didn't quite say it like that, but essentially he prayed, and the fog, of course, cleared. And he did say, look, you know, I have an audience with the King every day, and he often hears my requests. And it's funny that the motto of George Müller was, he had a thing on his desk which says, that we matter to God, that you matter to God. In the smallest things, in the big things, in the exams, and in the relationships, and in the rent payment, and in where you're going to live, and needing healing, and needing help, and needing friends, and not knowing what your future is going to happen, well, you have access to the King. And finally, this is my favorite one in some ways, because I love this verse. God really likes you, as well as the fact that he loves you, and that he really has great affection for you. How do we know that? Well, in Philippians, it talks about how Paul writes to them, and he says, look, I long for you, Philippians. I long for you, New Lifers, with the affection of Christ, with the affection that Christ has for you. Paul knew the affection of Christ for himself and for the people of God. And I pray, Lord, would you come And would you show us in our hearts, would you break in and flow through with your sweet and amazing affection for us? Would we experience it? John Owen, the Puritan, said this: the greatest sorrow and burden you can lay upon the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him, is not to believe that he loves you. We do need to believe that he loves us. We need to believe the truth and reject the lies that we're unwanted or we're rejected. And I believe it's a constant, we're a constant work in progress, aren't we? And so I want to move to the second half of the talk, really. And the Queen has had a book written about her called The Servant Queen. And it's interesting, the subtitle in the little letters is "And the King That She Serves." And she said this in the introduction: "I have been and remain very grateful for your prayers and to God for his steadfast love. I have indeed seen his faithfulness." And as we heard earlier, and as we prayed, and as we've watched the Christmas broadcasts, how she has evangelized and spoken of her faith, we do need to continue to pray for her as we celebrate her official birthday. But I want to just ask you a question. I'm sure you know the answer, and I probably won't ask you to shout out, but what do you have in common with the Queen? Okay? Anyone? Anyone? I'm sure a few of you at home have got a really bright green dress, which she was wearing yesterday. And, maybe. And did you know the Queen was an Arsenal supporter? No, I don't know. I don't. So we haven't got that in common. No. And anyone with corgis here? No. Well, the thing is, it's an obvious thing, really, isn't it? That the thing that you have and that we have in common because of Jesus is that you are royalty too. You are royalty too. So you can just take a breath. We just relax a little bit, because it doesn't mean that you've got to go out and get the corgis, although I'm sure I know a man who could help you. And it doesn't mean that you've got to live in a castle. It doesn't mean that you've got to do a speech every Christmas Day. But there's a sense that we're royalty not because we're going to live in opulence, not because of, the kind of trappings of all that, but we're royalty because Jesus is the King, and we're his brothers and sisters. Our Father is the King of Kings, and we are in his family, and we are a royal priesthood. We have access, we have influence, we are welcomed in, and we have dignity. And Jesus served out of humility to his Father, but he knew who he was, and he walked with a royal dignity. He knew he was a son loved by the Father. He knew he was a prince, the Prince of Peace. But he served and he lowered himself to walk the path of the Father's will for us. And he invites us, and this is, I wanted to get some kind of Tom Cruise reference in. He invites us to another Mission Impossible. Now, Mission Impossible, the first one, it was so long ago. I mean, all I can remember was he was on some kind of wires tapping into a laptop, stealing something. And so his impossible mission wasn't that impossible because he did it. But really, the assignment that Jesus had, he fulfilled to the letter. He had an assignment to save us. He had an assignment to fulfill his Father's will. But the thing is, he calls us and he invites us to say, "Will you accept the assignment I have for you?" And do you know what our assignments are? I think one of our assignments is to enjoy the love of the Father and draw on the love of the Father. In Ezekiel, it says this wonderful promise, doesn't it? That we're given new hearts. We're given a new heart. That God will take the stony hardness out and put this heart of flesh in. And I think there's a moment for all of us when we cross the line of faith, we enter the kingdom and are transferred from darkness and the rule of darkness into the rule of King Jesus. But I'm sure all of us know that God wants to keep softening the heart, keep purifying the heart, keep speaking to the heart. And he wants us to go, I believe, with soft hearts, full of the love of God, to minister. And so let me just hit that he wants to use your lips. Can you just give me a little bit of a lip stuff? Yeah. He wants to use our lips to sing his praises and tell of his goodness, to share our stories, to give prophetic words, and to share his good news. He wants to use our lips in the earth right now. I've got a friend, Beth and I, called Julie, and she took a Tesco delivery. And her Tesco delivery man, he plays football. She knows him a little bit because he's a regular guy there. And she plucked up enough courage when he came last time. So I just want to pray for you. I'm a Christian. You know I'm a Christian. I really just want to pray. I see you're injured. And she prayed for him. There didn't seemingly anything happen. But afterwards, he said to her, "You know what? No one's ever offered to pray for me before. No one has ever prayed for me before. I mean, I haven't felt anything yet. But you know what? I had a little window on what God was like. But you seem to have opened it up a bit because you offered to pray for me." And I think that is the thing that we're called, aren't we, to step out and speak and to pray and to prophesy. And I think in this room, when I hear of the stuff you're doing, like the amazing Fleet Festival, with your kind of stuff with the other churches and the things that you do, you know, you are just, it's just so encouraging. It's so encouraging to hear what God is doing to you and through you. And as I look out upon you now, there's a sense of just, it's funny, I went to a seminar and it was on identity. This was several years ago. And at the end of the seminar, I prayed for one guy and I saw a picture of him. He was sitting in the chair and he had just a very kind of a crown that really fitted his head just beautifully. But the thing about it, the crown was just cocked back a little bit. And it was as if he was just really comfortable in being one of the sons of the king. And it's funny, he went on and he's now leading a church up in Watford many years later. But he was sure of who he was in Christ. He was sure that he was loved by the Father. And I think our identity is key, and that we need to feed our lives with the truth of God, don't we? And so he not only wants to use our lips, but he wants to use our lives. He wants to use our hands. And it says in 1 Peter that God has given each of you some special abilities to be sure to use them to help each other, passing on to other God's many kinds of blessing. And so God has got a gift for you and gifts for you, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in a different study context, whether it's in the home. He has gifts to flow through you. And so really, in terms of closing, I believe that just from the message version in Philippians, I believe that we're to go out into the world secure in the Father's love, sure and confident that he's for us, that he loves us, that he's there for us, and that we're to go out into the world uncorrupted to be a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. And we're to provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. And from what I know of you guys, you are doing that every day. I don't know why me and Beth ever left, except maybe we were hooked out for a purpose. But you guys have consistently given a glimpse, and more than a glimpse, of good living. And in doing so, you have given vistas of the living God. And I would encourage you to keep going, to keep praying, to stay close, to stay in prayer partnerships, to build friendships, to continue to honor your leaders, continue to take in truth, to stimulate and feed you. There's more to come, and we need to see God come like the flood that happened this week. I was in my home just preparing and just reading and praying, and all of a sudden, you know what I discovered last week for the hour when the rain poured down? My guttering needed really sorting out. But I knew that anyway, so... But it just came, and actually, then I got a text from our gym to say, the gym is closed. Then there were schools closing. An hour flooded in with rain, and certain things stopped. And I want to pray really now that God would really flood. We need his flood. We need more of him. He needs more of us. And he wants us to go out, but he also wants to keep ministering into us. So could I just invite you to stand, and we'll just pray. Father God, I'd want to thank you that you love us and that you are here for us and that everything is undeserved. And we just want to ask you by your Holy Spirit to just come and to minister to each person here, that if we have felt in any way unwanted, if we've felt in any way that we're not invited to the party, we thank you, Lord, that you have thrown a party just for us. And that when each of us came to you, a party was thrown in heaven because you delighted to see the lost ones come home. And we ask, Father, that you would use your church to see the lost ones come home, to see the prodigals welcomed into the embrace of the Father. I pray, Father, that each of us here freshly, young or old, you would come with a fresh embrace today. You would fill us, you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, and that you would speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for the glimpses of God that we have had of you. We ask for more glimpses. We thank you that one day we will gaze upon your face. We will know the richness of your goodness for eternity. And we long for that day, Lord. But we also ask, Lord, that you would, while we're here, in this fragile life, in this moment's passing of our lives, you would use us, Lord, for your glory. And you would send us out to give others a glimpse of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Would you flood us, Lord? Would you flood this land with the Father's glory? Would you come on this day when we celebrate the Queen's birthday? Would this nation again celebrate the King of Kings in a way that where every street is impacted by your love? By praises would go throughout this nation again. We ask for you to flood us again with your revival presence, Lord God, that things would stop and that you would receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's just stay standing in God's presence. Keep our hearts open to him as the worship team minister to us. I know Cliff's got some things that he's been praying, things to share that he's felt God wants to touch individuals today.
I'd just like to offer an opportunity to be prayed for today. If anything has struck you as we have been talking, if anything has struck you about needing to know a fresh touch or revelation of the Father's love, but I felt there were also some other specific things as well. I felt that God wanted to minister into a relationship, a marriage relationship, where he wanted to remind you that he had put you together. That what God had put together, that man was not to divide. And if you're struggling in that area, I'd love to pray for you. Also felt that maybe one or two people here had gone through a time when they had been betrayed. And I felt God wanted to come to you and just minister to you and say that he's not someone who would ever do that to you. But you're questioning and you're hurting. And I just ask, Father, you'd come and minister to that person. I felt also that There are people here who are kind of in the autumn season, and they think maybe the best days are maybe coming to an end. But I felt there are many people where God was saying in the autumn there was going to be seasons of mists and mellow fruitfulness. And as I've looked round this place, I've seen certain people almost, there's been so much fruit around them. There's been so much fruit. And I believe that the people here, God would say again over you, I've chosen you and appointed you for fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. And I had the phrase as well, kind hearts and coronets. Funny thing is, I don't know what a coronet is. But I just felt God wanted to honour you and commend you for people who have kind hearts and are moving in that way. And then finally, if someone is suffering from kind of like an ulcerated eardrum, love to pray for you. Also somebody who is has got a problem with their throat, maybe their esophagus, swallowing, love to pray for you as well. So, but if there's anything you'd like to be prayed for, we would love to just have a chance to minister God's love to you.
We're going to worship. We're going to ask the worship band to lead us. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, looking to him. Is there anything you feel this morning that you'd like Cliff and Beth to pray? Just come and stand up on that yellow line there. It'd be really helpful.
I did know I was going to stay in London for a few years, but I didn't. I only tried out one church in North London because I came to New Life and then just didn't ever leave because I liked it so much. So just to thank you guys all for being so welcoming and being like my family while I've been here.
Fantastic. We're going to pray for God's blessing, for God's protection, for God's... Would you stretch out your hands towards Sian with us as we pray for her today? Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Father, thank you that you are the God who is in control of our lives. And today we thank you that you guide, that you lead, that you provide in so many different ways. We thank you that you have led Sian here, that you've blessed her. She's been able to train in her job, and that, Lord, you're moving her as she's getting married. And we want to thank you that you're the God who guides. You're the God who provides. You're the God who makes a way where sometimes there is no way. And so we're praying today as your people. Lord, would you stretch out your hand of blessing upon her and Peter? And we pray for their forthcoming marriage. We ask, Lord, would you unite them? Would you bring them together? Would you powerfully cause them to be a couple that would be completely united in you? And we pray, Lord, for your richest blessing. We're asking, God, today, would you fill her with your vision, your goodness, and your mercy for the future?
Lord, we thank you for all that you have poured out through Sian to us, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that since she came, Lord, so many people her age have come to the church, Lord, and she was one of the first, Lord, a couple of years ago. And we just really praise you that you brought us to a new season through her and similar age people, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you bring us to new seasons. And the picture I had was of somebody on a swinging, on a flying trapeze in the circus, and somebody swings and catches the person, and that the acrobat has to let go of her trapeze and fly through the air, and then the catcher grabs her at the other side. And I just felt that God is saying to you, just let go and let me catch you in the next season of your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just feel that God wants to reassure you, Sian, that he is the sovereign God, that there's no sense of chance, no sense of luck, there's no sense of things just happening. But God is the God who you have given your life into his care, that you have submitted your life to him, and it takes responsibility to guide you, to lead you, to bless you. And so you can relax. You can relax in his provision. You can relax in the timing of jobs and houses and whatever else there is in the future, because he is the God who's going to be leading and going to be guiding you. Father, we just want her today, as Sian goes, to bless her in Jesus' name. Pray, would you so fill her with the knowledge of Jesus. So protect her life, watch over, guard and keep her. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand up, shall we? Let's worship. Let's love Jesus. Let's draw close to him. It's wonderful this morning. We can love him, enjoy his goodness. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have given us a place to live where we have the freedom and the liberty to be able to celebrate, where we have the freedom to announce and promote the name of Jesus, where we have the freedom that we can worship, where we can reach out and touch people's lives, and we can follow without let and hindrance the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, and we don't take this for granted. And we pray, Lord, for your wisdom and your blessing and your mercy on the Queen, on the government, on those you put in authority in this country. And Lord, we pray today, as we're celebrating the Queen's 90th birthday, that you would bless her. And we pray you give her boldness in speaking about the faith that she has. We pray, Lord, as she gets older, Lord, she may become more vocal. We pray, Lord, as the years go by, she may speak out ever clear in a society where there is so much against Christianity. We pray for boldness. We pray for courage. And we thank you for her life in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please stay standing, because we're going to take the offering this morning. If you're a visitor, there's no obligation. We have a bucket down here. If you'd like to give as we sing, opportunity this morning. Okay, we're going to worship. Stop being so friendly. Stop it. Try and look a little austere in English. Fantastic. At the end of our time together this morning, please stay. We're going to enjoy lunch here. So we've got lots of lovely food, lots of red, white and blue food, lots of different foods. There's a main course over there, there's a dessert over there, loads of food. So please stay at the end. Today is an action-packed day, because after lunch, we're heading over not far from here to use the facilities of a church that has a baptistry. Because obviously we haven't got any water here, and much as we'd love to have a big pool here, we haven't. And we thought about getting a swimming pool, and you know, but we thought, no, we go, let's get somewhere that's heated, that's lovely, that's just right. And so as we speak now, that pool is bubbling. It's just nice. I see we get a few people want to get baptized today. But no, the person getting baptized is Michiko. Give Michiko a warm round of applause. Fantastic. Michiko hasn't been a Christian very long, and so she's going to tell us a little bit about herself, a little bit about her journey. Michiko.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about how God has been in my life for a long time. I was actually raised in an atheist family, so I didn't have much of a chance to get to know Jesus early in my life. But when I was a freshman in college, my roommate was a Christian. And actually, I was lucky enough to be in a dorm where there was a shuttle bus between the dorm and a church. And there was even a Friday night collegiate service. So I had a lot of exposure to Jesus and the Christian faith early in my college career. And unfortunately, I was not quite prepared to fully accept Jesus into my life at that time. But then this last year, I met my partner Tarek in Tokyo, and I went with him to church. He offered to take me to church, and we started going every week. Jesus was really moving in my heart in big ways. And then when I came here, it was difficult to be away from him, but Jesus had really put it on my heart to find a church for myself, to make the effort to really make Christianity a part of my daily life. So the first weekend, I really wanted to go to a church, and by happenstance, I ended up coming here. And I think it's a very common story that people come here for their first experience and then they just stay. Because it really is lovely here. Everyone is so warm and so welcoming. I can't emphasize that enough. I think it's hard to impress upon you all how welcoming and warm it is here, in a way that I haven't experienced before. I've been to many churches and tried to find a church before, but this is really the only church that I've felt at home at in this way. So thank you so much for that. I wanted to share that for me, the biggest thing was that I came in and everyone treated me like a person, like a friend. And no one asked me specifically where I was in my walk with Jesus or kind of questioning me about where I was, because I was in too much of an unstable place to really feel comfortable with those kinds of questions. And it was so wonderful to be welcomed so warmly. And anytime I asked questions about Jesus or about Christianity, the person that I was talking to was more than welcome to share with me or talk to me about their walk or how things had been for them. And that was so important for me. So thank you very much for your warmth and your openness, but most importantly, just for the human nature, the lovely connection that everyone has here. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, Michiko. It's very exciting what God's done. I've only known Michiko a very short time, but just in the last few weeks, just how she's met God in a real life-changing way. So exciting. So if you'd like to come to her baptism, after lunch, we're heading over. And your information sheets you got on the way in, there's a map of Chalk Farm Baptist Church, which is not far from here. You can get the underground, the tube system, it's not too far. At 3 o'clock, we're going to be there to baptise her. So we're looking forward to that this afternoon. It's going to be a great time. Going to be so good. Anyway, before that, a couple of things. Nick, come and tell us about what's happening with ECOS today. Some people won't know what ECOS is. You better just explain it.
ECOS. If you're new here, you probably saw the signs as you came in. It means English conversation on Sundays. I've found my way into teaching English language over the last year or more, and after being inspired by Verd and Regina, and in part of my kind of decision in what I was doing, and thinking what a wonderful thing our language is as English speakers. Actually, you know, wherever you go in the world, there's an open door with this language. It's a fantastic gift. Most of us don't realise we've got. I went out to see Cliff, and we had a lovely time in Costa catching up. And as the excuse was talking about English language teaching, because their church has actually done quite a lot in pioneering this, and so it was really helpful, the advice. So the good news, Cliff, is we're doing it. And so for a few weeks we've had people who want to improve their English language through conversation with native English speakers coming to the Flame Room at 1 o'clock and chatting. There's been about a dozen or so, and actually there's about 10 signed up to come today. I think it was the free food that did it. But it's a wonderful opportunity, and actually they know that it's sponsored by New Life, and we always say that every week, but they haven't actually, they've seen a little bit of church because they've seen a few Christians. But actually, church is relationships, as Michiko was saying. Just thinking about that verse that says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by your love for one another." So actually, they're going to come, they're going to have lunch with us, they'll meet some of the people they know, some of them are new, so we need to be really welcoming. But what I'm hoping is that they just look around and say, "Wow, what is this? It's church, it's love in relationships." So be nice to them. Logistically, and just as important, be nice to one another. We don't want any fighting, okay? How many people have actually helped in the ECOS thing so far on Sunday? Put your hand up, because you're going to commit you. There's quite a few, because actually you need to really be on board at the end of this meeting, because we could have up to 11 people, several of whom are new. So what I would like you to do is hover around the door. I need someone to do the registration. I need somebody to do the coffee. And as the new people come in, we want to welcome them, say hi, and then find someone for them to talk to before we throw them to the lions. Okay? So they can, someone who will find them a priority place in the queue, a little legitimate queue barging to make sure they get something to eat, somewhere to sit down, and we've got conversation sheets if you need them. So really need everybody on board for this little bit of outreach at the end of the meeting.
Nick, thanks very much. Now, when the summer comes and that sun pops out and it's lovely and warm, thoughts go to camping. Thoughts go to Carroty Wood. And Jo's very excited because she is taking 82 people camping. So, parents, this is your time to get away and enjoy. Stand up, Jo. Let's give Jo a big round of applause. 82.
I know there's been concern over the food, okay? Is there going to be enough food? Well, I met with Jan this week, and we can confirm that there will be enough food. So that is good. And we're nearly ready. 2 weeks' time we'll be there. In fact, we'll be starting to pack up probably in 2 weeks' time. We're going to give out final instructions next Sunday, and I'll send out instructions over email as well. And what's the other thing I need to say? Oh yeah, so next Sunday we're going to start Carroty Wood actually next Sunday, okay? In the Flame Room, we're going to bring together a Blaze and Tribe and Flame, and Nick's coming out, and it's going to be to start to prepare for the camp. So very excited. I'm around at the end if you want to give me any final bits of money or medical forms. And the tent signs have arrived, and we've managed, despite an awful lot of guessing, to keep it secret. And they're the coolest signs we've ever had. So that would be very exciting.
Brilliant. Now, this morning, if the children are primary or preschool, then in a moment they're going to head out that door. Children secondary school age, that's be Tribe and Ablaze, are going to be staying in. And Michelle wants to look after you all. So Michelle, can you stand up, please? So if you're Tribe and Ablaze, if you'd like to go and... Well, actually, Michelle wants to be looked after herself, actually. So, parents, if you take your younger children out through the door right now, and if you're Tribe and Ablaze, come over to Michelle and she will give you copious amounts of sweets, I'm sure.